I see you also having a yet. How are you, Marty? It's not really the classic vibe. That's why it's on Sunday, not on Tuesday. The goal over here is to do a little prep for our high school-based factors learning that we are, Mir Tashem, very excitedly starting tomorrow. It should be a kapara for all of you in Monday. Oh,
amen.
We very much appreciate all your involvement. I would just like to begin with a little bit of a perspective from one of our high school comedians.
Hi, good evening. My name is Efrain Brigido. I'm a 10th grader here at Yeshiva Torah Chaim Torah Semes. On behalf of myself and the high school Talmidim, I'd like to thank you guys for giving us your precious time. It helps us a lot in our learning and our confidence. And of course, by learning with you, we get a benefit of having less class time. I know some of you are new at this and probably a little nervous, so I'd like to give you a couple of pointers. Don't worry, if you don't really know the Gemara, we don't need them less. Nah, just kidding. In all seriousness, it helps us a lot when you know what you're talking about. Some of my friends last year actually quit on their chavrusa because they didn't know what they were talking about. And if you don't know something, it's okay. You know, we don't know either. You're only a few years older than us. But please call up our rabbi and ask for help instead of just skipping it. It's also really important that you show us, they show up, and they show up on time. Although we enjoy the free time, it's important for us to be prepared for shir. Keep in mind that we don't get so much opportunity to like read one-on-one. So as much as we resist it, you should like encourage us to read to you as much as possible. We enjoy when you give us like a good kasha to shlug up our image here. I know you might think it's important to talk off shkafa with us, but save that for when you need a break during Seder. We count down this time for learning. Just saying, most of us really enjoy a good Starbucks in the morning, you know. If you'd like any more tips on how to do this, Avram Berry was my chavrusa last year, and that was pretty good. Yeah! Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Efrain. Really appreciate it. Just a few things before we get to the main show. We're actually going to have a little bit of a model lesson, but a few things before we get to the main demonstration, the live demonstration. A few thoughts that come to mind. A number of years ago, I think it was actually when some of the third-year Beis Medrash guys now were in ninth grade. You had a ninth grade Shabbat Torah. We had a joint Shal Shudas between the ninth graders and the Beis Medrash. And I did something a little bit risky. I asked the ninth graders to, in their mind, without saying who they were thinking, pick one of the Beis Medrash guys that were there that they wanted to be like when they got older. I didn't go around asking them who they picked, but we then went around and asked them why they picked that, whoever they picked, just tell us why you picked him. And basically, those of you who were there will remember that almost everybody in the ninth grade picked one of the guys who they said was nice to them. This guy complimented me on my nice shirt. This guy sat next to me during davening and said good morning to me every morning. This guy shared his granola bars with me in the dorm. There was Avram Amidov who said he wanted to be like a certain guy because he learns and he's wealthy. but other than that, everybody's everybody's response was they wanted to be like whichever base manager guy they picked because of the way he treated him. Because he treated him nicely, he was a nice guy. So as much as we think that our conversation about how we can prove to him that the Torah is Min HaShemayim and answer all his hashkafa kashas and he has whatever, it's a tremendous hashkafa, just showing them that you care about them and you want to help them is probably the most powerful hashkafa to make them have a service of being a Ben Torah like you as they get older. So in a way that sort of eases the stress of what do I have to do for this guy, just smile, be nice, and he'll want to be like you. Also puts on the pressure to smile and be nice. But that's really the way to do it. I remember a good number of years ago when I was branching here in Florida, there was a fellow in the 10th grade who really did not have hasagos of going to Beis Medrash. And I remember he ended up going to Beis Medrash, and somehow the word got back to me that he went to Beis Medrash. There were very few Beis Medrash guys back then. I think there was like, was one of four branches, and there were another six guys in the Beis Medrash, pretty small Beis Medrash back then. And I would learn with this guy, and he said he was going to Beis Medrash because, you know, he met me, which is Shel Zafar, and he felt that, oh, I finally met like a normal Beis Medrash guy. Shel Zafar, how you don't even have to see someone. Right? But in his mind, Beis Medrash guys were just like weird people. He had no hasaga of becoming one himself because that's a whole different bria. I'm not that bria. Actually, his oldest son is in the ninth grade year this year. I can't take credit for it. He did a lot for himself, this guy. But the Maisa, I was friendly with him. I don't think we ever had a DMC. Hashkafa, personal, that kind of stuff. I was friendly with him. We had a good time together. It's a really really big hashkafa. We're gonna do a little bit of a demonstration, but I want to give you some pointers, which I don't know if you pick up on or not. Don't teach them. Your goal is really to learn with them. If you're talking for more than two or three sentences without their response, you're talking to the wall. Okay? The more you could be quiet and have them talk, the more they'll be learning, the less nervous you'll have to be, the more you'll realize where they need redirection. I remember this actually a few years ago. I was helping the base graduation before the dinner. I mean, Nyman had to take off for a little while. They needed someone to cover this year, so they asked me to cover this year. They couldn't get anybody else, so I was a little nervous. I'm used to teaching 10th, 11th graders. But what I realized is that the more I just be quiet and listen to the shatim that the guys are saying, the less I'll have to prepare shir, because I could just have a whole shir explaining to them why their pshat is wrong. I never would have thought that they would have come up with such a pshat when I was preparing myself, so I never would have given a shir to explain why such a pshat is wrong. And if you just, and that was shir, they loved the shir because I had such tradition how their pshatim were wrong. And you had such halmidas as such pshatim. But the more you listen, and listen carefully to their mistakes, their misunderstandings, their lack of understanding, their mispronunciation, the way they're butchering the Rashi, the way they're mispunctuating and therefore clearly misunderstanding, the more you just listen carefully, the more you'll see how much there is to teach them. If you think, okay, I need to come in and explain everything to them, it's not going to work. They're going to turn you out just like they tuned out their Rebbe in Shir. In Shir, it's a lot harder to just be quiet and let them talk because there's so many kids in the class. But in a one-on-one and a one-on-two, it's really, really, really important to listen. You'll have to be much less nervous. You have to be much less prepared because the odds that you don't know the same part that they don't know not so great. If you just talk, they'll figure out what you don't know. But they might tell, they might teach you a little bit of what you don't know, and then you'll be able to correct them on the parts that you could pick up that they're making a mistake about. There's a mistake that people make when they talk and learn. They for some reason, people go into this mode, I don't need to make sense. Like, when you have other conversations with people, like, they don't make these kinds of mistakes. I remember this hit me, you know, doing Tosis Lefikov from Babasa. So I asked the 10th grader, which word does the Mishnah say that's causing Tosis to make a deal? And he started his response with the word because. Conversation, you don't do that. I ask you which word. Don't tell me because. They ask you why, tell me because. People don't need that kind of training. In normal conversation, people don't need that kind of training. When it comes to learning, people need that kind of training because people are almost trained to think that you don't really need to make sense when you talk and learn. Sometimes that happens because, you know, the Rebbe is trying to share, and the kid says something that, like, there were two words in a sentence that made sense, and he was a, you know, if you twist it this way, you could turn it into a great kasha. Wow, it's so amazing what you're saying. I think what Chaim is asking is Rebbe Kinegas kasha. And let me tell you, Rebbe Kinegas kasha, Chaim is beautiful. And now he just learned that I just need to say something sort of that makes semi-sense, even though I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get my Rebbe all excited, and that's talking and learning. We have to train them that everything that they say has to make sense. You could say, I don't know. But don't say something that doesn't make sense. If I ask you which word, but don't tell me because. That doesn't make any sense. I don't care what your answer is. But don't tell me because. Everything, they have to be trained that everything that comes out of their mouth has to make sense to them. If it doesn't make sense to them, don't say it. You could say, this is I understand, this I don't understand. But don't accept a sentence that doesn't really make sense. Very important. Don't let them get away with, I have no idea what's going on. It's very rarely the case that they have no idea what's going on. Really, you have no idea what's going on? Okay. Do you know what Yibam is? Yeah, sort of. It's the guy who marries the woman, right? Close. That's what the Yavam is, the guy. See, you got this, it's the right Shoresh, but the Yavam does the Yibam. It's very rare that they mamish have no clue. And then you just made them feel it. Like, okay, I knew half of it. I was just missing the other half. Listen to them carefully. Don't let them get away with, I have no clue what's going on in Shir. Can you just tell me what's going on? Make them read. And make sure they're reading carefully, they're pronouncing the words correctly. I was learning with a high school fellow this morning. Hamesh Esrei Nashim Peturo Sarasei. Peturos means that they are potter. Potros Sarasei means that they cause their tzaros to be potter. So he read the words, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Peturos Sarasei, and he translated it right. But next time he sees the word Potros, or he hears the word Potros, he's not going to know what it means. Next time he hears the word Peturos, he's going to mistranslate it as it causes them to be potter, and it doesn't mean it causes them to be potter in that context. It means that they are potter in that context, and he's not going to be able to make sense out of what he's reading. So sometimes the feeling is, okay, he butchered the word, he said it with the wrong nekudos, so you have to listen to that carefully, because very, very often, the words that they, the way they mispronounce the word causes them to have a whole misunderstanding in the future. If they're going to think in the future that peturos means cause to be potter, they're going to butcher the next piece of Gemara. So, you got to be careful with the pronunciation also. I want to do a little bit of a demonstration. We did not rehearse this, but I asked Abram Berry to pretend he's a high school guy. I don't know what mistakes he's going to make. And that's why I asked you to bring your Gemaras along. That you're liking, sure?
I like the vending machines.
Roar, your ninth grade?
Well, my mom was a little mean and roar, but whatever.
I mean, it was really nice of her to sponsor the first day of learning Roar. That was really nice. Okay, how's your going so far?
It's good. I don't know. I know a little what's going on, but my Rebbe doesn't explain so much. They expect us to know everything, even though we haven't learned so much in eighth grade. But
It's a hard mistake.
That's why you're here. You're going to tell me everything. All the punctuation, you'll translate everything.
We'll see how I'll do it, but that is why I'm here. I'm going to help you out. And it's a hard mistake, but you see, if you work hard, they tell me you work hard. They tell me you're one of those guys who work hard.
I don't know. Sometimes. Whatever.
I did my research. Okay. All right. I'll give it a shot.
Punctuation?
Whatever you can do. If you can do the punctuation, that'll be good too. Go ahead.
Okay. Chamesh, there are five. Asara. Chamesh, Asara, there are 15. Nashim, Hotros, Saros, Sihen. There are 15 women who are Pater. What are Saros, Sihen?
Saros, Sihen are their co-wives. Let's first translate that line. Translate that line in a way that you think makes sense.
Chamesh Asara Nashim, who 15 women who pater Sarasehen. Their co-wives, the Saros.
So they pater their co-wives.
They pater their co-wives.
What does it mean to pater?
They make them pater.
That's good. Oh. You ready to explain that?
I think he did.
It's like the yeshiva should talk about it. I see you got the yeshiva should sprout it.
Yeah.
Let's do that for those first two words here. You translated them right. Chamesh Esrei.
Chamesh Esrei.
Yeah. Chamesh Esrei Nashim. There are 15 women. You got that
woman.
Right.
Potros.
Yeah, good. You got that.
Potter, Sarasean, their co-wives. It's Zaros and their co-wives, Zarosayan. Again?
Yeah. Oh, you know something? You just said that like what in the world is that talking about, right?
Yeah?
Why? That sounded weird to you?
I said it again.
I want to show you something really cool. Look at Rashi with Zarosayan. Ad Sof Olam.
Zarosayan, Ad Sof Olam.
What does Rashi say? Do you get a Rashi in Shir?
I think so.
Go for it. What does that mean?
In the Mishnah, we explain.
The Mishnah will explain. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think Rashi said that?
Because the Mishnah will explain.
Yeah. So why doesn't he just wait a minute and I'll see it?
Because he wouldn't know.
Because Rashi was talking, Rashi got into your head. You just read that, but Saras say, and you're like, huh? So Rashi knew that when you were going to read that, you were going to be like, huh? Because that's the perfect hook. And he says, relax, Avram. We're going to get there. The Mishnah at the end is going to explain what in the world that means.
Well, how did you know that?
Not that I know what. What it means?
You know what Rashi said.
Because when I read the Mishnah, I was also like, huh? So I look, when I go, huh, I look in Rashi. Sometimes Rashi answers my huh. Over here, Rashi says, Nasis Mefarish, that the Mishnah is going to tell us what that means, so he's not. But that means that you're reading the Mishnah in a way that, like, Rashi's predicting what you're going to be thinking, because you're doing some real learning. That's impressive. All right, go ahead.
Min HaChalitza, from HaChalitza. What's HaChalitza? Oh, I think my Rebbe said, when they do the shoe, they spin the shoe.
It's the shoe thing.
The shoe. Umin HaYibum, and from Yibum, when they do Yibum. So, hold on.
Did your Rebbe explain what Yibum is?
Well, when there's two guys, and then one guy is married, well, two guys are brothers, and then one of them is married, then one of them dies.
So tell me the story. What happens?
My Rebbe said there's Bob and Joe, and then Bob happens to be married to Sally, but then Bob dies.
So you have Bob and Joe. Bob is married to Sally.
And then there's Joe.
Are Bob and Joe related at all?
Yeah, they're brothers.
They're brothers. You have Bob and Joe, that they're brothers. Bob is married to Sally.
Bob gets shot.
Shot by Sally?
I don't know. Maybe didn't say
whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay.
And then they didn't have any kids because right when they got married. And then there's still Joe left, I said?
Bob got killed.
Joe is left. So now he has to go marry Sally, whether he likes it or not. Unless he does the spitting and the shoe.
Okay. So what? Which part is called Yibum?
That's what I said.
The whole story?
Okay, so
I think it'll be better. You're right. This story is a situation where there is a mitzvah of Yibum. But the act of Joe marrying Sally, that is the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay? Do you know what we call Joe? He's the one who's doing the mitzvah of Yibum. He's going to be called the Yavam. The Yavam does the mitzvah of Yibum.
So then what's Bob?
Bob is dead. We're not calling him dead. I'm just going to call him Dead Bob. Let's talk about Sally, who Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum is done too. You know what she's called?
No.
How do you think you would say, if he's the Yavam, she's the?
Yavam. No, he's the Yavam or he's the Yavam?
The mitzvah is Yavam.
And he's the Yavam.
He's the Yavam. By the time you spend a little time on this, it's going to become like English to you. Right now it sounds confusing, but it's going to be.
She's the Yavam.
Very good. Okay, good. He's the Yavam, she's the Yavama, and the mitzvah is for the Yavam
so
to do
like the verb, the noun, the adjective.
Very good. If I had as good of an English education as you, I would have said that in the first place. Very good. But there are two nouns, the Yavam and the Yavama are both
doing the Yavam.
There you go. Very good. Okay.
So.
And if the Yavam doesn't want to do Yibum to the.
Then they do the spitting.
then they do the spitting, which is called the.
Chalitza.
Excellent. Very good. And you thought this was confusing a few minutes ago.
It still is.
It's going to get more confusing.
What to the Elul?
Almost. There's a few more words over here. Ad.
Until the end of the world. Yes?
Yeah, you translated that literally. Do you know what that means, until the end of the world?
Forever?
Very good.
Ever what?
Do you have that written down? Wow, you don't have that written down. It means ad sofa is the Mishnah's way of saying forever. It doesn't mean, literally means until the end of the world, like you translate it.
Forever who?
Forever. They pater, these 15 women, pater their tsaros, their co-wives, and their co-wives' co-wives from Chalitza and from Yibum forever. You got that? Mm-hmm. Which part are you writing down?
The whole thing.
I find it more helpful to just write down the part that I didn't know. You knew most of it before. You could erase it now, but it's going to save you a lot long term. Because long term, you have to know most of it, and very little you have to write down. Okay.
Okay. Hey, Lohane, and these are it.
These are what?
These are the ones.
The ones that?
Them?
Yeah. That do what?
That do the chalitza and the ibum.
Close, close. What we say the halacha was about these 15 women?
Oh, they are the putter ones.
Well, you happen to be right. They are putter. The Mishnah didn't say that halacha.
It said
they are
zara nashim potros.
They caused to be putter. Remember how you translated that? They caused the tzaras to be putter.
Oh,
so you happen to be right. They are also putter. So they caused the tzaro. They themselves are putter. It's right what you said. And they caused their tzaros to be putter from chalitza and yibum. And that's the Elohein, and these are they. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So what's these are they? These are they that what?
Well, because.
But what are these?
These are the ones that become putter and they make everyone else putter.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so now we're going to list what those 15 are.
Beto is daughter.
Whose daughter?
His.
Yeah, that's what the Bob at the head means, right? But who's the him that we're referring to?
My Rebbe said it was Bob who was killed. So then it was Bob's daughter? And then...
These women were married. The women that we're going to list now were the ones that were married to Bob. Is marriage scary? What did I say that was scary?
I don't know. There's too many. I don't know which one you want.
So, okay. I hear that. It's going to be pretty simple. For the most part, the hymn that we're talking about is the Yavam.
Oh, his daughter?
Yes. Who's the his?
The brother who now has to marry the sister-in-law.
The brother who now has to marry the
his
sister-in-law.
Brother's...
Yes, exactly.
Dead his wife.
Yes. And what's that brother who's alive and needs to marry the sister-in-law called?
Yavam.
Very good. We're getting it clear. Okay, awesome.
And then...
So his daughter.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about what that means. Before we get to the other 14, let's make sure we understand the first one. And I think if we understand the basic structure of the first one, the other 15 will fall into place. So let's go through this. Bito means his daughter. You just said whose daughter?
The one who needs to marry his wife.
Yeah, what are we going to call him? Don't tell me his name. But what? The Yavam. Very good. So the Yavam's daughter. So she was married to who? There's potentially a mitzvah Yibum to the Yavam's daughter. Right? So that means that who is she married to? Very good. She was married to the dead guy, who happens to be whose brother?
Yavam.
Yavam. So now the daughter is becoming a... The Yavam.
Oh, because the Yavam is now the Yavamah.
The Yavam doesn't become a Yavam.
No, because her husband's the Yavam, now she's the Yavam.
Her husband could be the Yavam if they do Yavam, but her husband now is dead. Right?
So she's the Yavama?
Exactly. She's the Yavama and will potentially have to marry the Yavam. But how are they related?
His daughter.
It's his daughter. So that means the Yavama is the daughter
of
the Yavam. Not of the dead guy. She was the wife of the dead guy. But she's the daughter of
the Yavam.
Very good. So now we have the daughter of the Yavam
is marrying the, can't marry the Yavam.
Exactly. Can't marry the Yavam. And what would happen if she had a co-wife?
Oh, well, since she can't, then it says she also can't.
There you go.
What happens most of the time is that you get that.